Monotheism. Who thinks they know what that means? Can you guess what that means? Yes.
Believing in one God?
Mono means one. You're right. Believing in just one God. All right. So let's keep on going here. Notice in the verse we just looked at, it tells us clearly the Lord is one. God is one and he deserves all of our worship. Let's go ahead and keep on looking at what do we mean when we say we believe in the Trinity? Can anyone kind of give me an explanation? What do you think we mean? When we say we believe in the Trinity, what are we saying? Yes. Exactly right. So let's take a look at the word Trinity. So Trinity, you could think of tri. Can you think of some words that begin with tri? Maybe like a shape that begins with tri?
Triangle.
And how many sides does a triangle have?
Three.
Three sides, three angles. Very good. Maybe something else that begins with tri. Maybe something your little brother or sister could ride. Probably not you guys. You're too big.
A tricycle.
Right. And how many wheels does it have? So tri means three, but it also has the word unity in it, three in one. So when we say Trinity, we are saying three in one. Let's look at the definition down here below. Now this is a little longer definition, but it's important. It says within the one being that is God, we believe in one God, there exist eternally three co-equal persons, three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, one God, but three persons. And we're not saying that three persons equal one person. No, there's one being that is God. And in the one God, there are three persons. Go ahead and go to the next slide for us. So we see three important facts here. What are they? Fact number one, there is only one God. Very important. Christians don't believe in three gods, we believe in one God. But fact number two, there are three divine persons. Who are they? Who remembers? Yes, right there.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Say it with me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, fact number three, they are equal and eternal. We're not saying that one is up here and the other's way down here. No, they are equal. And it's not that one started first and the others came along later. They are eternal. In fact, you know what? At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But is that when Jesus began to exist? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Did Jesus begin to exist when he was born in Bethlehem? No. Because where was he before he was born as a baby? Where was he? Raise your hand if you think you can tell me. Where was he? Yes.
Well, they don't know what it is, but I just can't find the bathroom.
Oh. Okay, that's an important question. I think someone in the back can help you with that. Yes, Isaac. You can help him? Great. But who can tell me where Jesus was before he was born in Bethlehem? Yes.
In heaven.
He was in heaven with the Father in the glory of heaven. All right, let's go to our next slide here. And, you know, when we think about the Trinity, it might seem hard to understand. You know what? That shouldn't surprise us because we're talking about God. Should we expect that it will be easy for us to understand God? No, not at all. In fact, it might be like, think about something that's really small. Maybe something you might be in your yard crawling around. Who can think of something really small? Right there. A mouse, okay? Think about a mouse or something even smaller. Can you think of something smaller than a mouse? Yeah, right there.
An ant.
Think about a mouse or maybe even an ant trying to understand what your life is like. Do you think an ant could do that?
No.
How do we think we'll understand everything about what God is like? No. In fact, Isaiah 55, 8-9 says this, the Lord is speaking, and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God is different from us. He is completely unique. No, there is none like God. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we shouldn't be surprised that God is complex, that it's hard to understand exactly what we mean when we say we believe in the Trinity, one God, but three persons. Let's look at something that helps us remember these important things we've learned. We've already talked about, you know, a triangle, three sides, and look at the three sides to what we've learned. We've learned that there's one God, that's important. There's three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that they are equal. It's not that one is more important than the other. But look what happens if we forget one of these. For example, let's say if we just remember there's one God and they're equal, but we forget that there are three persons. Sometimes people start believing like this, and you know what it ends up being like? It's like God is putting on a mask. The Father becomes Jesus, and then Jesus becomes the Holy Spirit. But is that what we believe? That it's like God is putting on a mask, changing who he is like? No. We believe that there are three divine persons in the one God. Go ahead and go on to our next one. What if we forget that there is equality? Well, that's when we start thinking that the Father perhaps is more important than the Son. Now, it's true that Jesus humbled himself when he came, but does that mean that he stopped being God? That he was any less God? No. We believe in the equality of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Also, here's another thing we don't believe. Do we believe that Jesus is one-third of God? The Father is one-third of God, and the Holy Spirit is one-third of God? They're all part of God? No. Each one is fully God. Again, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it. How can that be? It's hard for us to fully comprehend the mystery of who God is. Well, let's look at this last one. What if we forget there's one God? Well, this turns into, can anyone guess? If we forget there's one God and we just focus on the three persons and that they are equal, it turns into? Exactly, believing in three gods. We don't believe that. We believe in three gods. I'm sorry, we believe in three persons in the one being of God. Let's not forget that. All right, so let's go on now. And so here are the three facts. Let's read them together, all right? There is only one God. Number two, there are three divine persons. And number three, they are equal and eternal. All right. Well, let's keep on looking at this. Go on to the next slide. And why do we believe the Trinity? Here is a thought-provoking question. Why do we believe in the Trinity anyway? This is kind of difficult to understand. So why do we believe it? Andrew.
Because it's in the Bible.
That is a good answer, because it's in the Bible. But you know what? There are some people who say, I've looked at my Bible and I can't find the word Trinity. Is the word Trinity in the Bible? Actually, it's not. But is the idea of the Trinity in the Bible, the teaching of the Trinity, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. And we're going to see that in just a bit. So this doctrine is something we believe because it's in the Bible, not just because somebody made it up. Let's look at our next question here. Where can we find it in the Bible? Well, let's find out. Let's take a look at some verses from the Bible. Let's go on to, first of all, there is one God. We already saw that, right? In Deuteronomy. So now let's go to our next point. The Father is God. We see that in 1 Corinthians 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Most people don't argue with this. It's the next two that some people argue about. So let's take a look at the fact that Jesus is God. From John 8:56, where Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham was looking forward to seeing my day. But the people said, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Come on, you're not even 50. You're not very old. But look what Jesus said to them. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. We see two important things here. What do you notice about what Jesus says here in his reply? There's something very special there. Yes.
Capital.
Why is it capitalized? There's something special about I am. Maybe think back to a Bible lesson about Moses, the burning bush. Yes. This is one of the names of God. In fact, it's a very special name of God where God said, I am that I am. Jesus is using the special name of God here saying, I am. And he is saying also that he existed before Abraham because he's God. He's eternal. Let's go on to the next one. What about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is also God. The Bible says this. But Peter said, this was when a man named Ananias, he had stolen something and he thought he could hide it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Ananias was trying to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men. But who has he lied to?
To God.
To God. Lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. So we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are declared to be God in the Bible. But do we see all three together? Let's take a look. Let's go on to look at some passages where we can see all three together. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And I want all of you to pay attention because I want you to tell me where we can see the Trinity in this passage, all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, where do we see the Trinity in this verse? Can you tell me? All three members of the Trinity.
So Jesus is the Son.
Okay, there's one.
The dove was the Holy Spirit.
The dove coming down, right?
And the voice was the Father.
Right, the Father said, "You are my beloved Son." So we see all three members of the Trinity here. And so let's go on to our next passage here. This comes at the end of Matthew, where Jesus has risen from the grave, and he gives an important command to his disciples called the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Raise your hand if you can see it here. I don't think I need to even ask here. This one's pretty clear to see. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, now this one's one of the trickiest ones, so you really need to pay attention here. Genesis, this is the very beginning of the Bible, the very first three verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Raise your hand if you can see all three persons of the Trinity in this verse. Okay, right here. Do you see them?
Me?
Yes.
The first verse is God the Father.
Okay.
Okay,
the Holy Spirit.
And then I'm guessing the third one is the Son.
True, but what specifically here?
God speaking.
Ooh, very good. When God spoke. Because what is one of the names of Jesus?
I am the light.
Jesus did say, "I am the light." So you could kind of focus on light too, but you're right when you said it's the speaking, because what's one of the names of Jesus?
The Word.
The Word. Jesus is the Word. We're going to see that in just a little bit. Go to our next verse where we see in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. and the Word was with God. See, there we see the Word there together with God. They had fellowship together. There was nothing imperfect. Perfect harmony, perfect fellowship there in the beginning. The Word was with the Father, and the Spirit was there too, in perfect love and harmony and fellowship. And the Word was God. Not only was the Word with God, but the Word was God. How can He be with God and be God at the same time? Again, that's the mystery of the Trinity. The Word is Jesus. He is God, but He is with God the Father and the Holy Spirit all together. He was in the beginning with God. Again, He was eternal. In fact, when it says in the beginning was the Word, it means before the beginning, He was already there. He didn't have a beginning. All things were made through Him. Remember how God created? How did God create the light? How did He create the animals? All those interesting things that God created. How did He do it? He didn't clap His hands. What did God do to create? Right here. He just spoke. That's all He had to do. The power of His Word. And so all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. But who is this Word? If we had any doubts, we see it clearly here in verse 14. And the Word became, say it with me, flesh. A human being with a human body. This is an incredible statement here. That the Word, the eternal Word, who is part of creation, became a baby that could cry, became a little boy who ran around and played games with his friends, who grew up to teach 12 disciples and to give His life and shed His blood for us and for our salvation. That Word is Jesus. He became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is Jesus. Well, let's see. I think we have maybe one more verse here. Let's check it out. Oh, yes. 2 Corinthians 13:14. What does it say? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So here in this blessing given at the end of this book of the Bible, we see again the Son, Jesus, the Father, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit. Something that we need to remember is one final verse, and it's one of the easiest for us to remember. Who would like to read this? This is a nice short one to read. Can you read it for us?
God is love.
God is love. When you have to memorize verses, this is one of the favorites to remember. God is love. But you know what? That's important. Because to be love, there has to be something or someone for you to love. Think back. Back before the creation. Before the beginning of time. Who was God loving? Before He made animals? Before He made people? Before He made angels? Or anything? Who is God loving?
Adam and Eve.
I'm sorry?
Adam and Eve.
But before they were created, who was God loving?
His own Son.
The Father was loving the Son and
the Holy Spirit.
And the Son was loving the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was loving the Father and the Son. They were in perfect harmony and fellowship, loving one another. And you know what? It could have continued like that forever. But God wanted to extend His love to a creation that He made. And you know what God does for us? He invites us to be part of that loving relationship. Are you part of that loving fellowship? Do you know God's love? Have you been included? God wants to include us. He invites us. But you know what separates us from God? What separates us from God?
Sin.
Sin separates us from God. When we turn our back on God and say, no, I'll go my own way. But Jesus came to make the way for us to be forgiven, for us to be accepted by God. And so Let's remember the important truth of the Trinity. Hard for us to understand, but important for us to believe. Because God is love. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He wants us to know Him as our Heavenly Father.